Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Happy Friday afternoon. Now we've done it. We've got to the end of the week. We have locked up our warehouse. We have parked up our vans. We have logged off our computers. And I've quickly popped into my favourite local pub for a cheeky pint of beer. And look, a little bit of early dinner because the wife, I love her dearly, but her cooking ain't that great. And we've got a stunning beef and ale pie, a bit of mashed hash, baked beans in a pot, which I think is wrong, but it's happened anyway. And of course, a bit of gravy. And you know me, I never look when I pour, because I am the absolute governor.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, April 26th, 2024. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Yeah, happy Friday, everyone. This one's for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! And last but not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to everyone joining us live. Hello to all the podcast listeners. On today's show, we're going to talk about the biggest surprises of the playoffs so far. We'll look ahead to the NBA weekend. Lots of games on this weekend. The NBA handed out another award. We're talking about the Clutch Player of the Year. And we've got rapid fire fun to end with, but we had more games on last night, and we had an absolute insane game. When you think about all the storylines going on within this game, before the game, after the game, I'm talking about Embiid scoring 50 points to lead the 76ers past the Knicks 125-114 to cut the deficit to 2-1. He got to 50. He's probably pretty lucky that he had a chance to get to 50, because there was the incident with Mitchell Robinson. They looked at it, said flagrant one. A lot of people think that should have been a flagrant two. There's a lot of other hijinks going on in this game. I don't know if you want to start with the actual basketball and the win from Philly or all the bullshit that was also going on. Your choice.
Oh, I think we got to start with the basketball.
Okay.
I heard Sikakis and the review come down from Kate Fitzgerald and say, Mitchell Robinson was okay. He wasn't injured on that particular play. He was injured. He left the game. But let's start with the basketball.
You always do that. Start with the basketball, but then you talk about the other.
Well, Kane Fitzgerald sold me on that being a flagrant one and not a flagrant two. That's what he said.
You buy that? You don't think that was dirty?
It was wrong, but he wasn't injured on that particular play.
You think that should matter?
Yes, it should matter. It always does matter. He yanked his foot.
Foot yank
when the guy was sort of jumping over him. We are starting with this. We're not starting with basketball.
That's right.
You think he should get ejected for that when Mitchell Robinson did jump up later on? I mean, we should get to all the testicles that Joel Embiid kicked.
He kicked multiple testicles
in this game. I think those were more brutal, in all honesty, because Mitchell Robinson did get up after this and did play and then had to leave unfortunately have to wear an ankle boot, leaving the arena for his other ankle, not the one that he landed on Joel Embiid with, but that one he's dealing with. And that's in a whole other issue, because he's supposed to be and has been extremely good at holding Joel Embiid down in this series. In game one, he was awesome, but it has sort of slowed them down. Anyways, I guess you assume that he should be ejected for yanking on the foot that where he felt like he said he had flashbacks to Jonathan Kuminga landing on him. I don't know if I buy that.
He was trying to make, in his words, Embiid said he was trying to make sure that Mitchell Robinson didn't land on him as some kind of flashback to the Kuminga of landing on his leg in late January. That's what he was saying. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fair discussion to have. Did he get away with just a flagrant one there? Along with all the other stuff. I mean, they're asking Tibbs, like, what do you think about the flagrant? And he's like, which one? The one they called or the one they didn't? There's another kick to the nuts of Mitch Robinson. There's the knee to Hartenstein. There's a lot of extracurricular stuff going on. What do you think? Should he have been ejected for that Mitchell Robinson play?
Embiid was over the line in the first half of this game with all the nut kicking and just throwing his body into everybody, trying to knock people down, complaining to the refs, and then finally, the Mitchell Robinson leg yank. And if it's the regular season, he probably gets ejected. But I went back and looked at famous leg yanks. Domantas Sabonis grabbed Draymond Green's leg before he got stopped on. Technical foul for Sabonis, not ejected. Matthew Dellavedova, another famous leg lock. He got a technical. And Taj Gibson got ejected. So usually it's the guy who retaliates in the playoffs who gets ejected. So I don't know. I mean, I thought it was a dirty play by Embiid. Certainly a flagrant one. But in the postseason, they're going to allow that a little bit more. And honestly, I like seeing him get 50 as well. So I was okay with it.
Yeah, that was in the second half. As you said, the first half was tough. There's three reviews in that second quarter. They didn't even review the one where Mitchell Robinson got kicked in the testicles and was grabbing his face because he got hit in the face on the same play. Sure. And Mitchell Robinson lost a shoe in this game, and he left the arena walking in that walk boot on his left ankle. And Joel Embiid also late in this game. He went back in the backcourt when OG Anunoby was coming up with a seven-point game with 120 left and stuck that butt out and dropped OG Anunoby. Yeah. That could have also been a foul. That was not a foul. Yeah. But I bring up all that Mitchell Robinson because he played 30 minutes in game one, and then they descended in games two, three, because obviously Isaiah Hartenstein is playing awesome. But you see all these jumpers that Joel Embiid is making. The 7'4" wingspan of Mitchell Robinson could have definitely helped, and he's getting better and better and better outside the paint. He was 3 of 13 in game 1 when Mitchell was on him, then 8 of 17 in game 2, then 10 of 13 in game 3, where he is freaking awesome. So I think that's why I wanted to start with a little basketball, because, yeah, the guy, as Trey said, the guy dropped 50, and he got hotter as the game went on, a guy that we questioned, what's wrong with his knee? He got stronger. He only had 17 in the first half and then had 33 in the second half. And I think it all started because Nick Nurse was drawing a lot of screens, plays for him to get open, and then jumper after jumper after jumper in that third quarter with Maxey. That was an awesome third quarter. I like the basketball.
So do I, but I mean, there's just so much going on around this guy. It's insane. We learn why his face was looking the way it has over the last week. There have been a lot of online discourse about that. What's going on with the one side of his face and his one eye and all that? We learn he has Bell's palsy, or at least the last week or so. So he's dealing with that after he had bad migraines. Then he gets into foul trouble in this game. Nick Nurse ran with him, stuck with him, kept him out there. All these incidences and whether or not he should have been ejected. Of course, Knicks fans are going to say he should have. Sixers fans are like, come on, you're overreacting. Casual fans or fans of just of basketball, I don't know where they fall on this. I think a lot of people are like, well, the Sixers sort of got screwed in game two. Maybe the Knicks got screwed here in game three. Are we even now, and can we just play basketball from here on out? Maybe you feel that way. It was dirty. I'm with you, TK. It's dirty. Because, let's not forget, Embiid was pissed off that he didn't get a foul call on the other end. You know, stomped his feet. He was upset. Comes back. OG barrels into him. Embiid goes flying down, so he's not happy about that. And then, yeah, there's Mitchell Robinson trying to put the dunk in or put the putback in, and he's like, no, I'm stopping this. He can say it's because he's having flashbacks. I think it's because you're pissed off and you are on one to start this game with all the other stuff going on. And he's lucky it was just a flagrant one. He is lucky. But if it comes out in the wash because of what happened at the end of game two and the NBA even admitting that they missed a lot of calls on the whole Maxey going down and timeout shit being called, then maybe it's fair now. Starting now here, three games in.
That's basically what Josh Hart said post-game. He's like, we knew what it was going to be coming into this one with the grievance filed and the way that game two ended. And then Embiid, not only was he doing all this nonsense, he also shot 21 free throws.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the most free throws anybody's shot, I'm guessing, since they switched the rules halfway through the season.
That's a good point.
He took a ton of free throws.
Yeah, some of those coming, I guess, at the end when it was to, you know, a little foul game. But you're right. He was money from the mid-range.
Yeah, and from three.
He killed them yesterday.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And that third quarter was impressive.
It was. He had four threes in that third quarter, splashing them. And Nick Nurse was getting him open with the picks to start. And he got Kyle Lowry open in the third quarter, who also splashed a three. And Maxey had a 10-point quarter. There was 43 points by the Sixers in that quarter.
Yeah.
That's the second most efficient quarter for any team in any game this season. Shout out to John Schumann for throwing that together. On 21 possessions, 43 points, you know, a little free throws. Those don't count as possessions, but it was just awesome. He hit five threes in this game. Again, he is getting better as he got better as the game went on. And the scary part is he getting better just shooting from distance in this series for the Knicks? And hopefully, Mitchell Robinson, he's got an extra day off I guess, because this game...
Yeah, they don't play till Sunday.
Yeah, Game 4. Hopefully he's all right.
Yeah, we'll find out. Another good thing, positive for the Sixers last night, along with Embiid going for 50 and Maxey being, you know, at times unstoppable again. Campaign, the spark plug, coming in here there. The start of the second quarter, he banged home 2 threes, had a nice little floater. Said after the game, energy costs nothing. That's a great line for the guy coming off the bench. And Nick Nurse is like, you know, we saw a little Buddy Hield there last night, but we may have seen Buddy Hield for the last time in this series, who's given them nothing. And instead, sort of what they thought they might get from Buddy, it was campaign. And we talked about it after those first two games, you know, those back-breaking losses. Somebody's got to step up and help out the superstars on Philly. You know, Lowry did have a good game one, but for the most part, you know, Tobias... MIA, Buddy Hield, MIA. A lot of these guys were not contributing. So huge, as little as it was, campaign sort of helped the Sixers in this game.
Absolutely he did. Pretty weird that Buddy Hield waited, what, 10 years of his career to finally get to the playoffs. And guess what? The lights are way too bright for Buddy Hield. But campaign, he was on him. They even let him do the in-between third quarter and fourth quarter interview. Then you look up and he's like back out there playing right away. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. But man, anytime he makes a three, it feels like a miracle to me. Even though he's a decent shooter,
sure.
He shoots like... I just completely lost his name. Bill Cartwright. He shoots like Bill Cartwright.
Oh, Bill Cartwright.
He shoots tiny like Bill guy. Cartwright, but he's an outside three-point shooter. And he was knocking him down. I thought Oubre played a really good game, too, as well. 15 points, 3 assists for him. He went 6 of 8 from the field. He's been pretty good defensively against Brunson, but this is his first, like, offensive game. And then Maxey did enough. He struggled, I thought, in the first half. Yep. But once he finally started getting downhill... Awesome stuff from Maxey.
Yeah, he has been good, and a couple big steals for Maxey early in this game. He stepped into a big contested three that helped him out. The campaign is amazing that he was doing a third quarter interview. Somehow, I guess he missed the timeout, and I guess that's why he replied to the interviewer. We just got to do better ourselves. I don't care what they're saying in the interview. He didn't say that. Or in the timeout, I should say. He didn't say that. But the fact that Nick Nurse played him, that's a great move. You mentioned Jalen Brunson being guarded by Kelly Oubre. This is a game where Jalen Brunson scored 39 and looked his freaking best, and we haven't mentioned him yet because there's so much going on. And in all honesty, the Knicks got great support out of a bunch of guys. Hartenstein continues those push shots. It's so awesome from the baseline, from the Russian spot, and McBride splashing threes. The only
Hart hit 4 more threes again.
Yeah, and he started slowly. He got better as the game went on. The only thing, Dante DiVincenzo, he was 0 from 3, which was surprising. He had that hammer dunk, but that was the only negative for the New York Knicks. But, yeah, great move by Nurse, throwing Payne out there. All of a sudden, when they gave up Patrick Beverley earlier this season, I wondered who's going to be that guard that helps out. They went and got Lowry. Lowry was off the waiver wire. What a pickup. Obviously, he was great in this game, and then campaign all of a sudden helped him out.
It was a great atmosphere with so many Knicks fans being in attendance. I was like, felt like I was at a Hawks game for a second, where you know, New York fans or Boston fans are here, or Lakers fans, where it is a fun environment when you got. It feels like it's almost like 50-50. People are celebrating after every made bucket or going nuts. I don't know. Have we seen any footage from the stands? Any fights in the stands?
There's got to be some fights.
I would think so with how testy this game was and how many Knicks fans were in the building. But
it was great.
Yeah, that third quarter was just... It's just wild. I can believe it because a lot of them came at the free throw line and he hit the threes. But like with all this stuff going on in this game, and I thought Embiid was going to, like, of course, get tossed. And he was like, he just seemed like he was unhinged a little bit in those first, like,
he was.
6 minutes. Yeah. So he's teetering on the edge of, like, getting thrown out of this game and series probably being over. And instead goes for 50. It's like, it's an insane, like, thing that he has one of the greatest games in Sixers playoff history.
The guy's playing on one leg. He's the absolute governor out there.
right.
Yeah, and I loved how he was playing defensively late in this game. When things got sort of close, Isaiah Hartenstein had a putback dunk. An awesome effort by him, and Embiid was able to jump up and just knock it out of his hands before he could put it back. That was a great play. 3 minutes left in this game. Hartenstein was ready to hammer it, but Embiid was, again, he was getting better as the game went on. As you mentioned, he has Bell's palsy that he's dealing with, a temporary nerve injury. I was listening to Tom Haberstroh's podcast about this even before he came out with it, because he was interviewing Dr. Brian Suterer. who's got 750,000 followers on YouTube, subscribers on YouTube. We've got 100,000 right here.
Yeah, we gotta start talking more about ligaments, nerve damage.
One day, Suter, we'll all be doctors and we'll get 750,000.
Yeah, I guess we do have to become doctors.
Yeah, yeah, because he's a legitimate doctor. Yeah.
You've seen his credentials?
Yeah, I believe.
Or you've just seen the MD in his Twitter handle. Suter? Yeah, I know what the answer is. I haven't seen your diploma yet, Brian.
Hang it up behind you.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
No, I was listening to the podcast before it came out. Tom Haberstraw, his mom had Bell's palsy, so he kind of thought about it. He felt it coming on, so he had Brian Suter, the doctor, maybe not the doctor. I'm not sure.
He's got to be a doctor.
He seems smart. Yeah, it's just... It's
throwing
just been
out
so
the theory,
odd
because people were trying to figure it out. Was yeah. it? People he were came, like, was it down. Just nerve damage? Did it get popped in the face and we sort of missed it? Then there's like, was a whole other working theory of like, whatever they're pumping in this guy because of the knee injuries having some sort of impact on him. Like, there was a million theories going on, but yeah.
Yeah, it's nerve damage, yeah. Not necessarily from a hit. We have no idea where it came from. It just sort of happened before the play-in tournament. And, you know, we've been watching every single second and you see what happens with half of Joel Embiid's face kind of freezes up. So that's been wild. But he's playing through that, and he is playing through an injury in his knee. So he's balling.
Yeah, my grandma had Bell's palsy. Right. I would have never considered that as a thing for like a young person right. In the NBA.
I had no idea. Yep. Must be a doctor.
Any other notes on this very wild game here in Philly last night? Anything else?
I guess the
got?
Scary part is Jalen Brunson may have found his flow. I mean, he was looking good, more calm, and knowing where his shots were coming from. But I love the wrenching heart after the game, knowing what was coming. I love just the tenacity of this Knicks team. And Tibbs saying, which flagrant foul from Joel Embiid are you talking about? Dante DiVincenzo was also getting into it with Joel Embiid. Everybody was yelling on the court. It was awesome.
We had a moment where Embiid and Brunson were mocking each other over them being grifters and getting to the line nonstop.
They both are.
I'm with you. Like, I know they didn't win the game, and that third quarter was a big reason why. But like, when you think of the first half and all the shit going on, like, I was like, damn, the Knicks are still in this. They're obviously they were expecting this. They were expecting that type of fight from Embiid and the guys, and they were right there. But yeah, then they just Embiid catching fire, 7 of 8 in that third quarter. I mean, he had a minute stretch where he hit 3 threes in a row, and suddenly the lead had ballooned to a more comfortable lead for the Sixers, and they held on in the fourth. Random notes. There was a shot of Nick Nurse at one point, repeatedly screaming, "He hit him in the face. He hit him in the face. Mm-hmm. He hit him in the face. He hit him in the face." He said it like 8 times. Laughing my ass off. And I will say with Nick Nurse, the campaign move, playing Embiid despite the foul trouble early, I was like, would Doc Rivers have done that? Both of those decisions, some of these other moves, I was like, I don't know. I feel like Doc would have been like, buddy, you're due. Keep shooting. Just like little things like that. Nick Nurse, we saw it as a Raptors fans. He'll try things. Sometimes your hand is forced, but he will switch it up. So I was wondering that. And then the final one. There was a guy at one point, I think there was 10 seconds ago in the first half, they cut to him, and he had a shirt that said good times, and he was just flexing. Did you see that guy?
He was pumped, yeah.
He was pumped. And it was just a great visual in that crowd. And again, the atmosphere was awesome there. So I can't wait for game 4 at 1 p.m. Eastern in Philadelphia.
One terrible visual that I don't like about either coaches calling timeouts or Nick Nurse specifically calling timeout. You just reminded me that Nick Nurse had his one hand near his other hand, like he looked like he was calling a timeout because he was trying to hear from the bench whether or not they should review a play.
Yeah, that's right.
And so he had it real close. And is that a timeout?
Does it have to touch?
Yeah, it was so freaking close. It was like a centimeter. Coaches calling timeouts is just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very weird still that this is what they have to do. They have to touch.
It has to be a tee.
I guess you don't have to hold it, up like this. You can do it sideways, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
That's weird.
Maybe give them a little red flag to throw, like football or something. Chuck it out there.
Football flag.
Yeah. It'd be funny for a coach to be able to throw something in a basketball game. I don't know what. Maybe not a flag, but... Maybe pop like, remember we used to have those little confetti guns when we were the starters? And any reason we could to fire them off, we would, just to make a mess. That'd be fun.
Oh, time up. Popper went off. And we got to clean up.
Yeah, take a look at it while we do it.
Were they doing that for the coach's challenge for a while, throwing flags on the court? Or maybe I was just dreaming that up.
What do you mean?
Like they wanted a coach's challenge, so they're literally taking something out of their hand and throwing it on the court.
You were dreaming, buddy.
In the NBA?
Yeah, like right at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. It was like,
Yeah, I did hear Ian Eagle last night on the broadcast. I guess he was on Lakers Denver, right? They went to a review eventually, and he said to Grant Hill, John Legend, give me the green light. We're going to a review.
Yeah. Yes.
Bars.
You
must have popped. Killed that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You love yourself some John Legend.
Review, guys.
Yeah. So 2-1, Knicks still lead this. Let's hear your thoughts on, of course, do you think Embiid should have been tossed from that game? I guess for two reasons. One, you could say, well, it should have just been a flagrant two for pulling down Mitchell Robinson, and that's warrants an ejection. Or you could be like, well, okay, that's a flagrant one, but what about these other ones that maybe were flagrant ones as well? The knee to Hartenstein, the other kick that they didn't even like. I don't even think that one was even replayed or reviewed, excuse me.
Oh, no, it was not. The one to Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, the little Draymond-like kick.
Yeah, he gave a Charlie horse to OG Anunoby with his butt, as I said, late in this game.
So, you know, two flagrant foul ones, that'd be enough too. So let's hear from you there. And let's also hear, do you think now it's fair? After what happened at the end of game two and then what happened here in game three, and does this series feel like it's going long? It sure does. All right, let's move on to the Magic handing the Cavs their worst playoff loss in franchise history. They win 121-83. Trey Kirby, we're playing hoops last night, getting a good run in. You got people on the sidelines checking the phones. Man, what's the score of the Magic Cavs game?
People couldn't stop talking about it.
Whoa, hold on. What do you mean? The Magic are up 30? Hold on. The Magic are up 40? And that sort of kept going. And I bring that up because it's funny, right? So we're playing. We finish hoops. I go home knowing, well aware that the Magic kicked their ass. So I'm thinking, oh, this must just be over in a hurry, right? They, you know, Paolo must come up out of the gate, just hit a bunch of threes or something. And I start the game. The Magic started 0-9.
That's crazy. Huh?
And I'm like, hold on. Those guys on the sidelines last night at Pick Up Hoops, did they have it wrong? Were they saying the game wrong? The
must
score
have been
wrong?
Brent. Magic fan Brent. Because there weren't too many guys out there.
We weren't playing with them last night. Good call, though. Good call. But anyway, they started 0-9. They're down 6-0. And then they quickly turned it around. And then this turned into a blowout. But I just thought that was funny. It was like, you know, you're expecting it to be just an ass-kicking right from the jump, and it wasn't. It took them a while to get going.
Not at all. And great stuff from the Magic, being able to bounce back from a really, really tough start. Their first home playoff game in, like, 1,800 days or something like that.
It was crazy.
Yeah, because their previous one was – their
was
previous home
years.
Playoff game was in the bubble. They played in the bubble, so they're not obviously
–
I mean, they were playing in Orlando, but they weren't playing in Orlando.
Oh, so it would have been
– it was
the Raptors.
Yeah,
Raptors
series.
There you go.
But, yeah, then they bounced back, and it was kind of like the Paolo game, even that part of it, because he missed his first five shots and still finished with 31, 14, and 5, and most importantly, zero turnovers.
Yeah.
After he missed those five shots, he hit the craziest one-legged – fall away over Evan Mobley, and apparently that got him going. He's like, once that went in, I knew I was going to be playing well. Zero hesitation on any of his shots, even after missing a bunch at the start. I saw Cole Anthony called him Playoff P after the game.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Oh, my
I don't know.
After one game?
one good game, but it was a great game.
It was.
He could have gone for 40 if they had to play in the fourth quarter, but the big thing was the Magic won the possession game. In this one, they were 14-5. Advantage on the offensive boards. They only turned the ball over 8 times, whereas Cleveland turned it over 14 times. That equaled 10 more shots for the Magic, 3 more free throws, and they were able to play in transition. 22 to 11 in fast break points, and Jalen Suggs was a huge part of that. I thought he was just in runout mode all night.
Yeah.
Great, great win for Orlando, and I'm so happy it came in game 3. Because it would have been cool for Orlando to get a home win in game 4. But imagine they're down 3-0. You get that win to make it 3-1. It feels good, but it doesn't feel like you're still in the series. This one feels live because the Cavs, they're bad on offense, just like the Magic are. They haven't had the great game yet, though.
Right. And again, the Magic started 0-9, and you're thinking, oh, so the Cavs are up 15 points. Yeah. No, they scored 6. It's not like they're lighting it up in this series at all, Tass. That's what we talked about after games 1 and 2. It's like, you know, they won, but the Magic just couldn't hit anything. But it's not like a lot of the Cavs shooters are ice cold as well. Mm. So it's strange here. Maybe we have a series. Obviously, game 4 this weekend is huge. I hope we get a Magic win to get us down to a best of 3, a pivotal game 5. But what'd you think of this one?
Yeah, going home matters to the Orlando team for sure. You always hear, oh, the role players play a little better at home. It happened in this game for sure.
Yep.
Cole Anthony didn't hit a shot the first 2 games. Ba-boom. He hit some. In this one,
yeah, he hit a three at the end of the first quarter there. Yeah,
yeah, that was his first freaking three, first make of the series. Yeah. So that's surprising. But everybody contributing big time. Jalen Suggs was awesome with 24 points, shooting extremely well and extremely efficiently. Speaking of injuries, that guy looked like he was done for the series in game two. Looked like he had a knee injury, came back in that game, and honestly was a baller in this game. 9 of 11. He was just great, setting guys up, doing everything. And as I mentioned, Cole Anthony, it was just a little bit more of a proper rotation with the Magic as well. They took Jonathan Isaac out of the starting lineup, put Wendell Carter in. You go bang, Paolo Banchero can step out and hit every shot, which he ended up doing after missing a few shots. But yeah, this Magic team looked like a Magic team. You had Suggs, Harris, Cole Anthony, and Markel Fultz. Those guys combining for 17 of 27, hitting threes. And so
it's nice of you to throw Gary Harris in there.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Yeah, it wasn't a good one for Gary.
No, but he didn't make a shot, but when you put it in with the other guys, it feels like
it feels better. Yeah, he hit six before that, you know, when Cole in game two. So it felt right. And yeah, Mo Wagner looked better. Although I will say about Paolo Banchero, he was demanding more from the fans at one point. You know how guys do.
Yeah,
sure. It's like, you know, whistle. Come on, fans.
Let's go.
Let's do it. But he looked, if I'm a body language professor, he looked a little more pissed. He wanted a little more. He wanted a little more juice from the fans, like, because he did it once, and then they weren't being loud enough. He's like, "Come on!" He was being a little angry. I think he wanted that Orlando crowd just a little more, a little more. Get upset. Get going. This team deserves it. The weekend game is going to be good.
Yeah, I thought Franz Wagner looked way more comfortable with like his dribble and his attacking and then his passing and even his touch a little bit. I know he had a lot of assists in this game. He was much better from the jump and they needed that. And you said it, TK, Orlando's defense, which is what they're known for, and taking care of the glass, they were then going fast as they could, like really pushing it. Because they know it's going to be a slog when it gets into the half court. You got to get some of these easy ones or a little freer shots. So they did a good job of that. And yeah, Paolo was amazing. The big rig, man. That was a battering ram a couple times against Mobley.
That did strong.
Man, a couple times he put that elbow down and Mobley went flying. And, you know, after a rough start for Paolo, he found that shot and he was awesome. He couldn't miss there for a stretch, those step back jumpers in the start of the second half. Suggs was attacking. It was like scoring is such a premium in this series. You know, they're up like, 15 or 16 at the half. It's like, okay, well, this game's going to be decided in the first 6 minutes of this second half, because if the Magic can keep the lead or extend it, it's going to be way too many points for the Cavs to overcome. And that's exactly what happened, because those two guys led the way. They scored 21 points in the first 6 minutes. The lead ballooned to 26, and it was basically a wrap, and then we got some garbage time. But I turned it off when Suggs threw down a windmill dunk on the break to make it 92-58. I said, okay, moving over to Knicks Sixers.
From the, nice. From the side of the hoop, too.
Yeah,
not
a little
not
bit,
a
yeah.
Straight up windmill. You don't see that very often, but he was awesome. Yeah, he was. That's why these seven game series are way better than single elimination NCAA games, because we can see how good these guys are at times. Sometimes they've stunk. I mean, Jalen Suggs shot 10% from 3-point land before this game in the series. That's not very good. 28% from the floor, and then was awesome in this one, setting guys up. You mentioned Franz Wagner. He did a little hezzy between the legs in this one. He looked good.
Yeah.
He got the fights. I mean, the scrappiness of Banchero versus Mobley, who stopped him at one point. He had a huge block on Wendell Carter. This is a good freaking series.
Yeah. I thought Donovan Mitchell was, like, playing in a fog for, like, the first 20 minutes of this game. And then you learn that he did, I guess, aggravate his knee after he stepped on Paolo's foot there. He got it going at the end of the first half, and you're like, uh-oh, here comes Mitchell. But then, not a whole lot there in the second half. But watch that going forward. He had a bunch of knee issues this season. Looked like a shell of himself. Then got it going, obviously, early in the season. I don't know. That's something to watch.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Because he looked great in game one.
That's what I mean.
And had a week off before that.
Right.
That certainly matters, because they're playing a lot more often right now. And he was also finally guarded by Jalen Suggs. Jalen Suggs is a great defender, but for whatever reason, he was mostly on Garland when they were playing in Cleveland. Switched him over to Mitchell, double teamed Mitchell a lot, said somebody else beat us, and nobody else on the Cavs was really ready to play last night.
Yeah.
A few random moments. Brendan Haywood, nearly, he caught himself calling Caris LeVert Gerald LeVert.
Mm-hmm.
Made me laugh. Been there, done that. Had the album. You know, where's Sweat? Where's Gil? Also, this was, I guess, almost like a mini worst of the week, if we're being honest. But I was confused for a second. I was like, hold on, what's going on here? NBA TV confusing Bickerstaff for Mosley, because it had Mosley's name up, but they're talking to JB Bickerstaff at the end of the first quarter. And I was like, what? My brain was like, what is going on here? Like, I started convinced myself that that was Jamal Mosley. I'm like, hold on. No, that's Bickerstaff. So a little confusion there.
NBA TV did have some problems with the lower thirds. At some point over the score bug, I. Mobley came up with his stats. Isaiah Mobley is zero Mobley. For zero. Yeah,
yeah. Just checking in on him.
Mobley's bro. What?
NBA TV score bug, I've always hated. I'm not a fan of it. I can't stand it come the playoffs. It doesn't tell you what the series is. I know, sure. Like, for me and for us and probably for the sickos, like, you know, but a lot of people don't know. It's just a weird thing to not include in a playoff series, to me.
That is weird not to include.
That's just strange.
If you're turning on Cavs Magic on NBA TV, you know what the series is.
I guess you do. I guess you do. But come on, let's be better. Anyway.
I saw Vooch was in attendance last night.
Oh, Vooch, baby.
Do-over?
Come on back?
Yeah, come on back.
Run it back.
They can have a center. They're trying out
they
the
centers. They need another center, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, Tracy McGrady in the house. They gave him the hey, Tracy McGrady is here. They had Nelly's number one playing. I like that.
Nice.
Am number one. Because you were number one.
How do you think Penny Hardaway good. Feels about that?
Good.
Wait for him, too. Yeah.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training, just in time for those warm summer days. Pool season's coming soon, so I've been hitting the weights with Peloton and my guy Adrian Williams, trying to get my muscle on in order to expand my cannonball splash radius. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. It's easy to personalize your workout. Whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance, Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you already excel in. And their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Shout out to Adrian, Aditi, Andy, and Emma. I love you all so much. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
All right, the final game from last night, Aaron Gordon and Jokic lead the Nuggets to the brink of a sweep with the 112-105 win over the Lakers. Brink. I love that word come playoff time. Brink of elimination.
Right on the brink.
Yeah, TK, get us started on this one. I mean, sort of same old story here. To some extent, you know, like, well, the same story. Nuggets beat the Lakers.
Not a clutch win, though.
No.
I guess that's a little bit different.
I guess so.
But yeah. I don't know. I stayed up for this entire game, even though once the Lakers got up 12 in the first half, should have just went to bed because you knew how it was going to go. I think game ball goes to Aaron Gordon in this one. He was incredible. 29 points, 15 rebounds, five of those coming on the offensive end. He also had three assists, and it felt like in the first half, especially, Aaron Gordon just bailed out the Nuggets every time there was a little bit of a Lakers run. Anytime it seemed like they were going to really extend the lead, big-time offensive board, finish at the rim, or get a back cut and finish at the rim. And then later, I'm pretty sure this was a bit by the Nuggets when it was like foul time for the Lakers. They were inbounding to Aaron Gordon every time. He's the worst free throw shooter.
So they just wanted to like
pile up
stats.
The points, man. Yeah. Like, you carried us here. You deserve it. Go make some free throws. And he made quite a few of them. So I think that that was intentional. But the game, I thought, really was won in the third quarter. The Nuggets outscored LA 34-22. And Nikola Jokic took two shots and one free throw during the quarter. He had five assists. Michael Porter Jr., more like Michael passing while jumping. This guy had the best passing of his career. Three assists for Michael Porter Jr., but they were all nice, and they were all to Aaron Gordon. Lakers just completely gave up in the last 5 minutes. They knew they were beat, except for Austin Reeves. He was out there trying to get his numbers up after having a pretty poor game. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was a slightly different story
because
it was over before clutch time, but it felt the exact same.
Yeah, you're right. Lakers have had three fairly big double-digit leads in this series. Each game, but this one was the best Nuggets game we've seen. Right. And that's why they took him apart. As you said, Aaron Gordon, give him the ball. He does this. He does this last year in the playoffs, last three series against Phoenix, LA, and obviously Miami. He's got big games. He had 23 against Phoenix, 22, one game against the Lakers, and one game, 27 against the Heat. Because you're covering Jokic. You're doing everything against Jokic. You're doing everything against Murray. That's what they're absolutely doing out there. But this other guy, he comes in and he can grab offensive rebounds or do the back cuts. And that actually helped out because the good, the scary part for the Nuggets was, oh, Jokic is in foul trouble here. Maybe this guy may not be able to play. Are we going to win the non-Jokic minutes? Yep. In this one, they played so well. They played some zone with Jokic out there, so he didn't have to guard Anthony Davis alone. And then when he went to the bench, they were plus three in his non-minutes, which doesn't happen very often. You got a Peyton Watson huge block on Anthony Davis. That was awesome. Reggie Jackson with a pretty left-hand layup. Beautiful. It was like kind of like a hook shot, actually. So they did enough. And they were trying really hard to win this game. Michael Malone was playing. Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, more than 40 minutes in this game. And then their other starters, KCP and Michael Porter Jr., Michael passing while jumping. He played over 35. They were trying to get it from everybody, and they did. And yeah, KCP shut down D'Angelo Russell. I guess that's what happened. I mean, he did a good job to get out to him. And well, Russell couldn't do it.
So game three for the Lakers starts with an AD dunk, a Rui dunk, a LeBron dunk, and it ends with bad body language from a team that looks like, oh god, we could just not beat this team. It's 1-2-3 Cancun possibly on the weekend. LeBron dribbling off his knee out of bounds.
Oh yeah.
And D'Angelo Russell missing, you know, another three. And then the crowd basically booing him. I think there's some booing of Darvin Ham or fire Darvin Ham chants. I mean, it started well. It ended poorly, and it's 11 straight wins for Denver against the Lakers.
Yeah. You've heard of a heat check. D'Angelo Russell took a cold check. Down 10, 5:15 left in the game. It is like nut-cutting time. If we're making any sort of a comeback, Russell at this point is 0 for 5. Pull up 28-footer with 20 seconds left on the shot clock. Yeah. Obviously, he missed. Missed another one a minute later and got yanked. And then he was not happy on the bench, sitting far, far away. So I hope Lakers fans enjoyed trade deadline D'Lo. He's gone.
He had a good game too, and he's had a very bad two other games. And you go back to last year's playoffs.
But what does he do? What does he do? He's got an $18 million option next year to stick around. Go signs a long term deal somewhere else, or just clicks the box, say yes, I'll stay here, and then hope that he gets traded. Or, I mean, for the Lakers, they've got to go on a different route, I suppose. Like, game two was good for D'Lo, but he was over in this one. I mean, they gotta do something else, obviously.
We can talk about the Lakers offseason.
Yeah,
when
we
get to
now,
that. No,
we're gonna have
we might have a couple, obviously some sweeps in play here. We're gonna have to fill some shows, is my point. We can talk about that. But great question from NBA.com's Sean Powell. If you get swept twice in 2 years, what's the terminology for that? He threw out getting vacuumed.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
That's good.
But I wanted to, you know, bring that up because, you know, some groupthink on this one, maybe some suggestions from people on Twitter here or on YouTube, and maybe you guys got something. It's a good one. Like, when you sweep the same team back-to-back years, that's 8 straight, what would it be? What do you call it?
That's tough. I feel like maybe the second one should be called getting mopped. Because, you know, when you're cleaning the kitchen, you got to sweep up all the dirt first, and then you got to go through with the wet.
Okay. I don't mind.
So maybe they'll
we got
mopped. Getting mopped here.
Man, the Nuggets mopped the Lakers. Oh, they beat them, swept them 2 years in a row? Yeah, damn right they did.
That's
okay,
good.
That's not good.
That's good. Stick in the house. Yeah, a vacuum is not bad. But yeah,
vacuum is good, too.
Yeah, it is good, too. I like the home tools, you know? You get a vacuum in there. Because actually, Nice Guy Eddie, one of our great fans, brought up that we have the gentleman's sweep.
Yep.
You know, you lose the first, sweep the next four. Then the douchebag.
Yep.
I got that wrong. It's gentlemen's is you just win one game.
No, that's – I don't – some people think it's that. I think the gentleman's sweep is truly you win three games, the first three games. You are a gentleman. Therefore, you give the other team game four. Give them the tiniest bit of hope, and then you beat them in game five. To me, that's the order of a gentleman's sweep.
And then the douchebag is –
lose the first game, sweep the next four.
Sweep the next four, okay. Yeah. And then, so he brought up, he asked, what if you win the first game, then lose the second game, and then win the next three?
Oh,
is there one for one?
No.
And then Bippo.
It's called a series.
Our man Bippo brought up the chimney sweep. That's good. That's good, Bippo.
For the back-to-back years getting swept?
No.
Chimney sweep.
No, just like win one, lose one, sweep the next three. You got to clean it up. Because the first shoot up,
you gotta clean it up.
The first time you put your brush up, into a chimney, you get stuffed. You get stuffed. It comes right back down. That's one win. The next one goes through. That's the other three wins. I know, weird. Yeah. We got a chimney. We got a sweeping brush. We got a vacuum, and we got a mop. Lots of stuff.
I'll have to watch Mary Poppins.
Jim Chimney.
That's right.
Hold on. Quick notes. Aaron Gordon, after this game, was asked about Nikola Jokic. He just said he's a genius who happens to play basketball. great stuff, Aaron Gordon. But I did like Jokic. He was asked about how – because – people are just running out of questions for Jokic and for being up 3-0.
Yeah.
Like, how did it come together here in Denver? And he quoted, he basically said, you know, you need a couple years together. Like before we used to have Jameer Nelson, we had Wilson Chandler, we had Gary Harris. Like, he just brought up his old teammates.
Yeah.
I love that. That's all. Really, that's all.
Just to go back to something you said about last night's game where Jokic was off and the Nuggets still won those minutes. If you look at the series, I think this sums it up here. Nuggets are plus 19 and Jokic is 120 minutes. And they're plus one in the 24 minutes where Jokic has rested. That's just, you're never going to beat this team if that's not that number in your team's favor when Jokic is actually on the bench for the limited amount of time here.
Yeah.
Through three games. And Aaron Gordon, one more thing about him. I legit, after, what was it, his third or fourth dunk where it looked like nobody was around him, I'm like, hold on, let me pause the screen here. Are there six Nuggets out here? Because this guy, there's no one by him. And I think that's where Darvin Ham can get a little bit of the blame. Like, come on, man. Like, let's take that away. And I know this is not easy. They're the defending champs. They're incredible. But I'm fascinated by who's to blame here in all of this Lakers. Is it Darvin Ham and his rotations and you know, strategy or lack of changing things? Is it AD for going missing all the time in the fourth quarter? Is it LeBron as the leader? Is it Pelinka and Lakers for putting this team together with limitations, especially after they got swept last year? Is it D'Angelo Russell?
It's the guy who didn't box out Aaron Gordon.
Well,
yeah, like that.
Well,
you're talking about the rebounds.
I'm talking about the ones where there's none rebound.
Yeah, a lot of these baskets were on LeBron,
right.
If we're being honest. He was guarding Aaron Gordon, and he was stepping up to help, and then there was nobody back there.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon's got to be the best ever dunker spot guy.
Oh,
yeah, he does that. Yeah, and as you're looking at Jokic and Murray, if you're caught guarding Gordon, Gordon's going to go right by you, and that's what happened all playoffs long last year. Could happen again.
Mm-hmm.
They should have never let Caruso and KCP go.
Yeah, they could use those guys right now.
Should have never traded for Westbrook is the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Teams down 3-0 in a best-of-7 series are historically a combined 0 for 151. this could be the one.
Okay. It's rare to even go to a game seven, but we saw it last year.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Where the Celtics got somehow back into that series against the Heat.
Don't let them get one.
Did LeBron say that last night? Do we know?
Did he do a Photoshop? I haven't checked.
All right. Some big picture playoff questions here. We'll move with some pace here. Task, get us started. Who's had the most impressive start to the playoffs after a week of ball here?
It shouldn't be a surprise because Damian Lillard is part of the top 75 players of all time, but we talked about how slow and how non-Damian Lillard he's been the last little while, but he's been frickin' awesome in this postseason. And he gets off to great starts. He's averaging 35 points, basically. I'm rounding up, but 34.5 on great percentages, shooting 50% from three on 12 threes a game. So he's just coming out and just chucking, and they are going down. So I think even though that series is all tied up and we got to fire up the TVs pretty early today to see game
get
three.
Get your dinners in early, boys.
No doubt,
5:30 p.m. Eastern start tonight for game three of Pacers Bucks.
Yeah.
What? What is this, the IST?
They probably played at 5:30, didn't they, right? It was like a 2:30 tip-off or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah, so I will start with that. I mean, I think he's just been surprisingly good.
Damian Lillard.
Yeah. Hasn't even been the best player in that series. Yeah, I can't believe you're not giving love to Spicy P here.
Yes, I think he's going to lead the whole series in scoring.
He is.
I think so, too.
No, he is.
Oh, I know he is now. Yeah.
He's been awesome. He was awesome in both of these games. He's averaging 36.5 points per game, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, shooting 65% from the field. There's no matchup on the Pacers or
on
the Bucks right now for Pascal Siakam, and they're not going to be able to stop him, I don't think, until Giannis comes back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Pascal could keep eating, I think, in this series.
Sure.
Yeah, I think the benefit for him is that he's their second option, and the Bucks are trying to take away Tyrese Haliburton and not necessarily taking away Pascal Siakam. And yeah, Giannis has to be the guy. He's shooting a ridiculous 65%. So not only is he leading the series, but he's leading the NBA in his percentage.
Yeah.
Like, he is being so stupid efficient right now.
Okay. So that's your impressive start here. Hey. Same series, you got anyone else?
Yeah, I've got some other sprinkles I'd like to toss at you. How about Tyrese Maxey?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
33 points in game one, 35 in game two, 25 last night. Had a poor shooting night, especially in the first half, but he has looked awesome alongside Embiid. You could say, I don't know, between him and Embiid, like they've probably had the two best players in their series. And I think that's pretty impressive for Maxey in his first playoffs as the absolute number one guy. He's been bringing it defensively as well when he's been stuck on Jalen Brunson. So I think really, really encouraging for the Sixers that Maxey looks this good in the playoffs, playing next to Embiid. He's like the perfect guy to play next to Embiid. You thought maybe it was Harden, the way he plays and the way he was able to set up Embiid, but Maxey does that. He hits shots from outside, and unlike Harden, he gets to the rim, and he can really, really finish inside. And the other guy I would toss some sprinkles to, Rudy Gobert, I think has absolutely dominated the Suns-Timberwolves series. People always talk about him getting played off the court. Not a chance. He is being destructive inside, and he's really holding his own on the perimeter as well while rebounding and actually scoring efficiently inside and trying to get highlights. I'm impressed with Rudy Gobert so far.
They need to give him his fourth Defensive Player of the Year trophy like now.
Yeah.
Because it looks great.
It looks amazing.
Yeah. Because you don't want that situation because there was some concern. Yeah, can the Suns play him off the floor and all that? And then for him to get it would look like, oh, that's weird. It's like the time they gave Dirk the MVP when he was
eliminated.
After he had been eliminated by the We Believe Warriors. But that's a really good one. Very impressive start from the Wolves. A lot of their guys, especially Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, just to stick there, Nikhil Alexander-Walker has been so good off the bench for them. He just fires threes. You don't necessarily think of him as a three-pointer, but he's shooting 6.5 threes a game. He's letting it rip, and he's shooting a great percentage from there, like he did last year in the playoffs when he played the Nuggets.
Yeah.
But he was starting most of those games against the Nuggets. He comes off the bench to be the Booker stopper, really. He's so good at guarding Devin Booker. So he is balling. That team, obviously, ridiculous depth off the bench. So
They can basically end that series with a Game 3 victory. We'll see if the Suns have any fight in them here. All right, next question. What's been the biggest surprise of the playoffs so far?
I'm going to stick in that series because I think Devin Booker, who is basically at his peak as a basketball player, is shooting far less here in the postseason. And I know that the Timberwolves have great defensive guys, but shooting five fewer shots in the postseason versus the regular season, it ain't right. I mean, only shooting 14.5 times. They've got guys on him, as I've mentioned, with Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Anthony Edwards does a good job.
McDaniels at times.
Yeah, McDaniels comes in, but even though him and Durant have been off, he's got to shoot. They just have to shoot. And I think the speed, when they do get a switch against Rudy Gobert, and Bradley Beal is to blame here as well, they are able to go past him and able to try and put it off the glass without Rudy Gobert blocking the snot out of it. At least try. You have no other option on the Phoenix Suns. You have to try. So Devin Booker obviously had foul trouble in game one, and game two just couldn't get the flow going. And again, the bodies are giving him a problem for sure on the perimeter, but somebody's got to shoot, and he is so freaking good.
Yeah, but it's interesting. Like, the game plan, it feels like, from Finch and the Wolves is like, of the big three, put that in air quotes with the Suns, it's like they focused on Booker the most of trying to take out of this series.
Yeah,
and
he's their
guy.
It's
like, all right, Durant, we'll live maybe with him. Beal, we're going to, like, we're not as concerned with him. It's Booker, they think, as sort of the head of the snake. There's probably a lot of truth to that. Especially Booker's usually like a lights out first quarter guy, can set the tone for his team, but they've done an awesome job.
Yeah,
awesome
but job. He's also missing open shots.
Yeah,
he's also deciding.
He has to have a massive game tonight or this weekend. He needs to bounce back.
Yeah.
Or there's going to be a whole lot of uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is this the guy? Is this the guy you move for a bunch of draft picks to another team where Booker could be a second guy, but then you just, restock all those draft picks? We'll see.
Yeah, he's also just passing too much. He doesn't need to find where the backup center is on the floor. He doesn't need to.
Eubanks is open, baby!
Too much Nurkic, too much Eubanks.
Yeah.
What's been the biggest surprise for you?
I got nothing to add, because that was going to be mine.
Yeah.
The fact that the Suns haven't been in the game at all, I think, is pretty surprising, considering coming in, people were excited to pick the Suns with the way they finished against a really tough schedule, the fact that they beat Minnesota three times during the regular season pretty handily, and the fact that they shut down Anthony Edwards during the regular season. He was averaging, 14 per game or something like that, shooting 30%, and he has not really felt stressed at all. I didn't think. Yeah, he had a great game one. Game two, it was about making plays until he needed to score a little bit more in the second half, but very disappointing from Phoenix, and I wouldn't have expected that to be the case. I mean, I think I picked Minnesota in seven. But that means you think it's a close series, and I guess it could still be if it's a huge game tonight. But another surprise I would throw in there, Anthony Edwards has surpassed Devin Booker, and I think the way you rattled it down completely broke it down here. You would take Edwards over Booker any day of the week right now.
Yeah.
He brings it more. He's got the intensity. He's a better defender. And it just feels like he's got a great sense for the moment. So I think he's the best United States shooting guard out there.
That's right. Are they both on the team?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
See you on the bench, Book.
Jesus. We're going to need Nikhil Alexander-Walker to shut both those guys down.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Dort too. All right, we're good there.
Yeah, considering what I don't want to look at last year's playoffs again, but the Phoenix Suns did lose both games to the Denver Nuggets on the road to start the series. Mm-hmm. Then they came home and won both.
Yeah, with unbelievable Booker KD performances.
Yeah, so
like, those were the two games where they went for like 80, wasn't it, or whatever?
Yeah,
that's what they need.
Yeah, honestly, that's the way they are set up. That's the Ishbia teams. They are paid at the top.
It's such a good point about like them not even being in this series or in these games. So like even when they were like down like 7 or 8 points, which is nothing, it felt like way more in that third quarter when that momentum started to build in that game two in Minnesota. It was like just like their body language was brutal. Obviously the Wolves were starting to feel themselves. That building was getting going, and it was like a little small snowball that you push down the mountain. By then it was just like a huge boulder from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Hey, there we go.
That's the only boulder I could think of.
That's
the number one boulder
outside
out
of Colorado.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think you could probably make a video. The actual clip will be of the Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker getting into the lane. Nah, I'm going to pass it. Bradley Beal getting into the lane. Nah, I'm going to pass it to Drew Eubanks. What? That was literally the fourth quarter of that game.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a boulder in there. You know, they just allowed the boulder to steamball anybody. They just need to shoot. They literally decided not to shoot. Maybe they just don't have the cohesion that the Timberwolves do, but they're just not together right now.
Final one.
That boulder was not in the Temple of Doom.
Damn it!
I have to say.
The Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, yeah.
Damn it!
It sounds better.
You idiot! Sounds better, you think?
The Temple of Doom, if there's a boulder in the Temple of Doom, that sounds better.
Right.
But Raiders, you know.
Anyways. Did the boulder make a return in the, when Indiana Jones came back into style? recently?
I haven't seen the new
into
one.
Style.
You know what I mean?
I did see the new one.
I saw it in a theater.
Man, I don't remember
again.
If there's a boulder.
Just run back the hits.
They still got the boulder when you go to see the show at Disney.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's MJ.
The boulder happened. Remind me, JD, when he swaps the crystal skull or whatever the hell. I don't know what it is. No, I'm mixing up.
Crystal Skull is another movie, but he does swap out something.
He swaps out an idol, and then he escapes from a temple of sorts.
So Indiana Jones, he shot first, right, in the canteen.
Oh my god.
Oh,
just carry on.
Jokic is doing these cross promotions for Despicable 4.
Yep. Despicable Me 4. Yep.
Yeah. Despicable Me 4. obviously, he could be doing Indiana Jones with a boulder. It's in Colorado.
Something.
He should be doing that.
I can see him. Indiana Jones must have rode a horse at one point.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh yeah.
Well, you see young Indiana Jones, played by River Phoenix, in the third one.
I thought Shia LaBeouf.
No, River Phoenix.
Oh. Oh, but you're
Shia LaBeouf comes.
Shia LaBeouf.
It's like his son, I think, Crystal Skull.
Oh, that's his son.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, three.
Maybe this is a series we could do.
I rewatched
Indiana
them all
Jones?
Last.
Ah, damn
I still
it.
Haven't seen Crystal Skull though.
Ooh.
I watched the first three, skipped Crystal Skull, and went and saw the new one at the theater.
I haven't seen the last two, so Crystal Skull I haven't seen.
Okay,
bad.
All right, add it to the list.
Add it, put it on the list
to watch. Final question, just quickly: what's one storyline you're sort of zeroing in on this weekend? Maybe that's a game, maybe that's a player, maybe that's an adjustment. What do you have?
Well, it's the Sixers-Knicks, that's for sure.
Okay, you called it. You said this is going to be the best
playoff
series.
Yeah, we're lucky, because it's not a 2-7. It's not a true 2-7.
Right.
This Phoenix – or Phoenix. I'm looking at Matt Ishbia numbers here. the Philadelphia 76ers aren't a true 7 team.
Yeah.
But I am looking forward to, speaking of Phoenix, seeing how they come out in Game 3, that's for sure, because they got a lot on the line here. They have so much money tied up in their starters.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
much. $180 million. Just to their starters next season. 190 the following next season. Just the starters. So that's way over the luxury line. They're paying luxury tax. They can't build it money-wise. They have to go and get minimum guys like they did this year. Chimezie Metu, Bol Bol, Utah Watanabe. He's going to Japan next year. It's been a great NBA career, Utah. Durant is getting older. He's obviously 36. Beal is just into his 30s, but he's obviously not healthy year after year after year.
No.
So this is their team. This is who it is.
Storyline you're watching, TK?
I'm excited to see the Celtics go to Miami for Game 3 because anytime the Celtics lose a game during this regular season or obviously losing to the Heat in Game 2, it just feels like the end of the world. You're like, oh, same old Celtics. Take off the mask. Guess who it is? It's the old Celtics, even though we got these new guys. So I think that's a big-time game to see how Porzingis plays in that one, his first road playoff game with the Celtics. Same with Jrue Holiday. Like, those were two guys who people think are going to take the Celtics over the top. They definitely did in the regular season. You need to see them beat some one-on-one switches. And you just want to see Boston play their game against Miami. But there's nobody better than the Heat at taking them out of their game. Also, I'm excited to see what Kawhi Leonard looks like his second game back because I thought he was pretty good athletically in Game 2 against the Mavericks, but he obviously didn't have his rhythm, missed all of his three-point shots. I assume he's going to get better as time goes on. He did play 35 minutes, which I think is encouraging if you're a Clippers fan, that he can at least be available for Game 3, which is huge. And then the last thing, I'm a little sad, guys.
Okay.
We might officially be washed.
Uh-oh.
LeBron James could be out of the playoffs by the end of the weekend. Steph Curry's already gone. Kevin Durant could be out of the playoffs by the end of the weekend. Chris Paul, he's out of the playoffs. That's our generation.
We're old.
These are all guys born in the 80s, and they are looking old right now.
Yeah, they
are.
We're looking like
Harrison Ford.
We're looking like Harrison
Indiana
Ford.
Jones. Yeah. When they brought it back.
We need the CGI faces.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it won't be long. They'll just be doing AI of this show soon. They got enough audio to go with. Yeah, and video.
AI indie.
Just plug it in.
Yeah. Throw it in.
That'd be awesome. Like if we still got paid.
Yes, I'm yes.
And like maybe that's the thing. Like every morning, just throw in a few thoughts. I got a few thoughts here.
Sure.
You got a few thoughts. You got a few thoughts. Plug it in. And then let them do the show. That's crazy. That's crazy that KD and LeBron, both guys could be swept here. I mean, very much in play. We'll see tonight. The three games on are Bucks Pacers at 5:30. That series tied 1-1. Clips Mavs. That's tied at 1-1. And then Wolves Suns is the late game with the Wolves leading that 2-0. Those are tonight's games. And then of course we have 8 games on the weekend again.
That's at 10:30 Eastern. The Suns game that you mentioned.
Yeah.
NBA. Don't you know we're old? sticking up till 1 a.m. tonight.
It's Friday night, baby. We're partying tonight.
Yes, yeah. Yes. The old 5:30, 8:10:30 slight. Yeah, let's do it.
Jesus. All right, we got a little bit of news here. Steph Curry is the NBA's 2023-24 Clutch Player of the Year. The award, named after Jerry West, is in its second year of existence. Curry led all scorers with 189 total points and 32 made three-pointers in clutch situations, which the NBA defines as games within 5 points with 5 minutes or fewer remaining on the clock. OT obviously counts there as well. Voting was close, as you see here on YouTube. Curry got 45 first-place votes, finished with just under 300 total points. DeRozan, 34 first-place votes and 272 points. So Curry gets the second ever Clutch Player of the Year. TK, unfortunately, another Bulls player. A bridesmaid, once again, just like Kobe White in the MIP. But yeah, your takeaways.
You want me to call him the People's Clutch Player of the Year?
Yeah, sure.
I know what you're thinking. Are DeRozan's clutch time stats better? Yes, of course they are. Of course they are. Did the Bulls outperform the Warriors in clutch? Yes, they did. Were the Bulls a worse team who was dragged to the play-in because of DeMar DeRozan's clutch performances? Of course they were. Did they win a game in the play-in tournament? Yeah, they did. But Steph Curry is your Clutch Player of the Year.
Yeah, we had 8 different players pick up first-place votes. 8 different guys picked up first-place votes. I think that speaks to the voters sort of not really know what to do still with this award a little bit. And just going, well, Steph Curry.
He's scary.
He's been clutch for a decade. He does lead some of these categories. That's enough for me, and maybe that's the reason why I'll go with him. I don't think anyone's upset. Like, all of these awards, you know, Maxey beating out Kobe White for most improved, like Naz Reid beating out Malik Monk, now like Curry beating out DeRozan. You can be like, oh, I don't know, I think I would have voted for the other guy, but it's tough to be like, oh, they got it completely wrong.
Yeah.
No, they did it. I mean, Curry's obviously clutch, the numbers back it up, and it's a bit of a, I think this one screams a little bit of a nice, like, thank you for 10 years of this type of performance, a little bit.
That's a good call. Right? Yeah. He has been scary scurry, I guess you can call him. I do think that's part of it. Also part of it is just his reputation, even this season. I mean, he was good this season compared to DeMar's, the Bulls' 39-43 team. It is surprising that the Warriors were 10 games above 500. And if they're 46-36, are voters looking at the...
So 5 games above 500.
They're 46-36.
If they're looking at records, then it should have been Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that's what happened last year with this Clutch Award. It's just numbers. Basically it.
Yeah.
So DeMar deserved it more than Curry. But it is interesting looking at the Warriors. If Draymond Green freaking does not get suspended, where this team is. Because out of 46 wins, they're basically like all these teams we're talking about in the Eastern Conference. They are up
like
there.
Your Pacers and your
everything.
Yeah,
sure. They are way better than a 46 team.
So Curry gets the second Clutch Player of the Year. Congratulations, excuse me, to him.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. Designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/nodunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
All right, before we go, we got rapid fire fun. JD's got the questions this week. We got the answers. Let's do this.
Guys, big news. Devin Booker is going to be a playable character in Call of Duty.
Wow.
Joining Kevin Durant. Also, did you know that you could play as Snoop Dogg or Nicki Minaj? I did not know that.
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. What video game would you like to appear in as a playable character, Skeets?
I mean, it's a pretty obvious answer, I think. But I would like to join my friends Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Warren Moon, funk musician George Clinton, and some 9-year-old kid who went by the name Air Dog. I want to be a hidden character in NBA Jam.
Mm-hmm. Air Dog.
Yeah, it was the 9-year-old kid of one of the developers. His name's Air Dog in it. I completely forgot about it until I looked it up. I didn't remember Warren Moon was an unlockable character. Put a little code in. This is on the Sega Mega Drive. That's how you got these guys. So, I think it'd be cool to be in that game, which I loved and still beloved. Put in JES and hold the start button, and then you got me.
There you go.
Yeah, me and Air Dog. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that could happen.
I mean,
if Air Dog can get in there,
well, yeah,
if they re-released it.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
yeah.
you can buy an NBA Jam. Just get
somebody to mod it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, somebody put us in NBA Jam.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah. Do it. I dare you to do it.
You won't.
Yeah, you won't. You can't. You don't got the mod skills. All right. I was going to pick Street Fighter, but I went with that.
Okay.
I know it's an NBA great answer, but yeah.
Sure. Tassie.
Well, you got me thinking of what should be easy to just put your face in. Nintendo Switch Sports. Because you kind of already put faces in.
Right.
And I like to be a pretend athlete where you go in, you know, you play some badminton, you play a little soccer, and you take a rest and bowl for a little bit. It's so easy. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. But I had Minecraft written because I like building stuff. It feels like I'm doing something with my hands where you build where you're living. Mm. It's very fun. You build a little house. What do you want? A pool on the top? Ooh, cool. Yeah. I love that. So Minecraft is fun. And you could easily do that. You could easily put my face into one of those goofy box head people.
You want to be a Steve.
Steve?
I think all of the male characters in Minecraft
really?
Are named Steve.
Steve Mellis.
I love that name.
Run all crate-less.
I love the idea.
I love Steve. I love using that name. I love using that name at Starbucks. What's your name, sir?
Steve.
You don't like going TAS because you
know
what you're going
to
get.
No, I don't say TAS or TASO. To what?
Excuse me?
What?
You say ass.
Ass, sir.
I love the idea Steve. Of, somebody's wife, maybe your wife, like, you're not a handyman, and your response back was, I'm play Minecraft. Actually,
I built my own house.
Built an empire.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, I can't fix the faucet, but look at what I've built.
Trey, what video game do you want to be in?
I'd like to be one of the ghosts in Pac-Man.
Ooh.
One of the Pac-Mans that you see at, like, a Pizza Hut where it's the table.
Yeah.
It would be Blinky, Pinky, Inky. And Trey.
Yeah,
the last one's named Clyde. We're getting rid of Clyde.
Yeah.
Just my face.
Put a little beard on it, too.
Yeah, sure.
That'd be good.
Yeah, that's good. Pinky. I'd love that. I'd play
Blinky.
That.
Inky.
Inky.
And then
Clyde.
You would think.
You just choose Clyde?
You'd think Stinky.
You would think Stinky.
Yeah.
For sure. But nope. Clyde.
Clyde.
Might as well call him Air Dog. Enough.
Yeah.
Are they the same ghosts in Miss Pac-Man?
Oh, that's a great question.
I think so.
But
pulling double
duty.
Have
to fact check us.
Yeah, different names. Same characters, but different names.
Yeah. Maybe. Okay. Anyway, next one. This week's Bucks beat reporter for The Athletic, Eric Name, shared this quote from Damian Lillard. Quote, not being in the playoffs, it sucked. Last year, I went to Coachella. I ain't never been able to go to Coachella. Yeah, same, man. What's a big event you never get to go to, Skeets?
I never get to go to, I mean, it's my own doing, but it's the Olympics.
Right.
I was looking at this as an event, man.
Sure.
I've never been. I wish I had gone. Maybe I will go. I know it ain't going this summer.
And you had the chance to go to
Vancouver. Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah. I could have gone to the one in Canada, in Vancouver. Mm. I should have. Our friends were out there, could have crashed on a couch. Said it was the time of their lives.
We were working.
Yeah, that was a winter. You're right. That's true. Winter a little more difficult, but still, but no excuses.
You should have gone.
I know. Absolutely. I know. I regret it. I've said it before on this show. I regret it. Yeah, I know. This guy's been to at least one, maybe two.
Just one.
Just one. You went, well, the motherland, though.
Yeah.
You're in the.
Yeah, but I was working.
Oh, come on.
No, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I was dancing with
I'm an
every
Olympic
Brazilian
sucker,
on
man.
The street.
I love it. I love it.
It's great.
Sam.
As corrupt as it is, I absolutely love the idea of it. And, of course, like it feels like just being there from what everybody says. I've never heard somebody went to the Olympics and like, nah, wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Wasn't for me. People were too happy. The competition
too much
too
triumph
good.
Of yeah. human will. Yeah.
So that's my answer.
Yeah, you're totally right. I hear like the crowds turn me off. Like Paris, I love Paris, but I can't imagine being there during the Olympics. But nobody ever complains about it afterwards.
Man,
they're like, it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was great.
Like Paris would be amazing.
Yeah,
it's an incredible city.
We should go.
Yeah. Let's go.
Let's take a page out of Lee Ellis's book and just go.
Let's just go.
Why not?
Honestly,
why not?
Why not? Well, why not?
Quite
indeed.
Expensive.
Well, very expensive, actually. I got a kid going to college.
Why not?
Okay. That's a good reason. No, not
fair going. Reason. Fair reason.
All right, Tassie.
Yeah, I did have Paris written down as well.
Oh,
Because, yeah, I've only been once 20 years ago. I did enjoy it thoroughly, even though I was working for most of it. Yeah, seeing people dance on the streets.
Oh.
People are in a good mood. People are happy. Mm. But I did ask my wife. I said, Danielle, what's one event? And she said, the Greek festival here in Atlanta. We don't go enough. I'm like, yes.
Oh,
we have one Greek festival here.
It was just on, too.
Which
wasn't
one?
It?
No, that was so. That was the drive-thru only event.
Oh, that was the drive-thru?
Yeah, you literally could only get food during that event.
Right.
And so,
Hold on. You're saying there was a drive-thru Greek
place.
Festival?
Well, at the same place that they have the drive-thru, the actual Greek festival event, they have one weekend where it's like, hey, we're throwing something here. But really, it's...
Yeah, don't get out of your cars.
Come get a pastizio, buddy. And I did. I paid.
Oh, you did? Okay.
You think Paris is expensive. These frozen dishes are expensive. It's just frozen. You throw it in your freezer. Yeah. I got a moussaka. Wow. I got a pastizio. I even got one from our man, Grish.
But you made this purchase from your vehicle. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you buy it online, and then you drive through, and then they say, here you go, sir. You want to put it in the trunk?
They at least have a guy with a bazooki next to the car as they're handing it to you?
That's a great call. They should do. No, they don't do any of that. No. It's a great setup that they have.
But you've been to the actual festival, but you haven't gone enough.
Not enough.
You should go every year.
Absolutely.
Go every year.
Yeah, it's every September. It's scorching hot.
Ooh,
if
you
want to dance, you're sweating.
Yeah.
But who cares? It's fun.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
I want to see an Adam Silver Photoshop that says, get a pastizio, buddy. That's too good. Big events for me. Laura's family always goes on a fishing trip, and then my bros from back home always go on a golfing trip, and it's always the first or second weekend of June.
Yeah.
Big weekend in the NBA.
Yeah.
Mm.
Tough to dip out during the NBA finals.
See ya.
I'll be back. Be back real quick. Well, I was hoping last year, though, that the Bucks were going to make it to the finals because the golf trip is like an hour from Milwaukee.
Ooh.
And I would have been able to skedaddle back and forth. But it's a no-go.
Okay. Mm.
Damn. It sucks. We got to get you there. We just got to send you out there.
Yeah, I might go this year. Yeah. Between game 2 and 3.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe 1 and 2. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. There's so much time in between games.
I was going to say, they are spread out, those games, in the finals.
Yeah.
It's like 3 or 4 days at times, yeah.
I think it would have to be a leave on Friday after the show, come back on Sunday before the game.
Right.
Yeah.
And just hit a 69 for 18 holes.
Oh,
in between,
yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Just gripping and ripping.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay, sticking with the Athletic, final one here. Sam Amick and Josh Robbins recently released their anonymous NBA player poll. We talked about it this week. I'm just stealing this final question from the poll.
Okay.
Who is your favorite current non-NBA athlete, Skeets?
Current.
No.
I like the current part because I actually was like, who is it? Like, all the athletes I like are NBA players.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I was going to do a classic. We could go Caitlin Clark or a WNBA star. Thought about that, but I wanted to get away from basketball.
Good.
I have other interests. At least
you like sports.
Convince myself. I like sports. So I'm going with a weird one, but I really do like this young guy in the MLB, and that is Reds shortstop Ellie De La Cruz. I like this guy. I like his style.
Yeah, good guy.
Big tall guy.
It's huge.
He's obviously he's playing really well here to start the season. I like that he's fast. He's got like 15 stolen bases already. So I like those type of players. So
15
I just think,
already? What
already,
is it?
Already, man.
April.
Already.
Holy cow.
Already.
Cats.
So I went with him, but it took me a long time to get to him.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Because like I'm not... I don't have like big soccer guys I love, and then like F1, like I see a lot of that because Nora loves it, but I don't really have an attachment to any of them, so I went with, I'm going young guy.
Young guy.
I'm planting my flag with Ellie De La Cruz.
You're on Ellie De La Cruz Island.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm not alone on that island. This guy's good.
Yeah. Yeah, he plays in the Great American Ballpark. It's just 6 hours away. Just head on up.
It's only six hours to Cincinnati.
That's surprising to me.
Yeah, it is always close. Surprising.
What a name for a baseball park.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah. It is cool.
It just makes me want to go and have a hot dog and have a beer with the, you know, the flag on it. Like it's got to be a Budweiser, I guess. Great American ballpark. And just hold it up.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Dassey, who's your favorite current non-NBA athlete?
I also went to baseball as well. I'm going with a real old guy. Speaking of old guys, Joey Votto of the Toronto Blue Jays. He's hanging on.
He's still hanging on. The league.
He's a Blue Jay now.
Yeah.
Wow.
He signed
He
signed a minor league deal this year because he's old and he's just hanging on. He played last year in the Great American Ballpark with Ellie De La Cruz, and he was decent, but it's clear he's getting old. He went to the first Blue Jays game this year as a fan. He literally was up. Like 40 rows. He didn't even have a good seat. He was up 40 rows because he loves baseball.
He's from Toronto, right? Yeah.
He's like a funny guy too, isn't he?
He's hilarious.
Yeah like, isn't he going to be in broadcasting or does already? Or
he
flirts with it?
I mean, he's been on for like 2 minutes and he's the best broadcaster
around. Right, right.
He gave it to the Mad Dog.
Is he like... I'm looking at his baseball reference page. He's not like a Hall of Fame guy.
Borderline.
He's got an MVP, six-time All-Star. He got a Gold Glove.
How many dingers?
Damn.
He's got 356 dingers. He's got over 2,000 hits.
Yeah, there's not too many of those.
It doesn't scream. That combination. Doesn't scream Hall of Famer to me, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Cool.
Joey Votto.
Trey, who's your favorite current non-NBA athlete?
Do I have to pick a Cincinnati Red?
Absolutely not.
It's between Chris Sabo and Eric Davis for me.
What about Barry Larkin?
Oh, what about Ken Griffey Jr. and Deion Sanders?
Jesus.
I know, it's tough.
Good ones.
Deion Sanders, did he ever play for the Reds? I think he did.
He did. Yeah. He did.
It's not those guys. I got two brand new non-NBA athletes who are my favorite. Okay. Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze.
Bears guy here. Here we go.
Oh, it's a new era in Chicago.
All right.
First time they've ever drafted a quarterback, number one. I don't know anything about Caleb Williams. I think I've probably seen less than 30 seconds of his highlights. But he was the number one draft pick, so he must be good.
Sorry to interrupt. Did you see a photo of who is the Carolina Panthers quarterback?
Cam Newton.
Did you see Cam Newton standing beside Caleb Williams?
He's a lot bigger. Cam's huge.
It was glaring, the difference, though. Because on one hand, you're like, holy crap, I didn't realize Cam was that big. Yeah. And then the other hand, I'm like, hold on, that guy's the number one pick? Because he just looked insane. But, okay. Sorry to interrupt you there.
Well, I don't know anything about it, but I don't like that he's short.
Yeah, he's
It's not good unless you're Russell Wilson early in his career. But one thing I do know about him is I saw a quote going around about Caleb Williams from the Pablo Torre podcast. And whoever he was talking to said that Caleb Williams is like if Prince played quarterback. And I think he meant it as a negative thing, but I'm like, that would be sick if Prince played quarterback. Just kissing at the line of scrimmage. All right, on three.
I mean, Prince was a hooper, wasn't he?
Prince was a hooper. I don't know how he got down on the gridiron, but maybe it was good.
Wow. All right.
Small as Prince?
No way. Prince is super tiny. But he is. I mean, you got to see this photo of him by Cam Newton. It's wild. I was like, is Cam Newton standing on an apple box? It was that crazy.
He is like 6'6 or 6'7.
Okay.
Cam
Maybe
is
I just
big.
Never realized that. Yeah.
Was he wearing his cowboy hat?
Well, he had a big hat on, too.
Yeah.
So I added some height.
It's part of it.
Added
some
height.
Caleb looks like he's 6'1. Listed.
Oh, okay. Well, then, it was more Cam just being a giant.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. And what about this? Can you tell me more about this wide receiver?
Is that
nothing.
No, I can't. But I do know he was the second best wide receiver, I think, in the draft. And people think he might have actually been the first best wide receiver.
What a draft.
In the draft.
We shall see. The Bears.
Offense. You ever heard of it? Not in Chicago. That's the worry. Now that he is going to the Bears as a quarterback, he literally can't be good. Not allowed. It's a real catch 22.
What's the reason? The weather?
I don't know.
The wind down by the lake?
I don't know, man. I think it's just the name on the jersey front.
Okay.
Yeah, Jay Cutler, best quarterback in Bears history.
No.
He holds like every single record.
Jay Cutler?
Exactly.
Yeah. Holy crap. Well.
Until
I mean, I'm literally drawing a blank on another somewhat good
Rex, sexy Rexy Grossman.
Yeah, I know the name.
Yeah. We're going deep.
We're going baseball.
Kyle Orton, Jim Miller, Jim McMahon. He won a Super
Jim
Bowl.
Jim McMahon. That's who I was trying to think of.
The Punky QB.
Yeah. That's who I was trying to think of.
What about a Harbaugh? Did he play?
He was a Bear as well.
So when the Bears, I guess when the Bears did win their Super Bowl, it was like defense was elite.
Oh yeah, the Monsters of the Midway.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the thing. Chicago has been trying to get back the '85 Bears for literally 40 years at this point, but things have progressed. People throw passes now.
Nah, not the Bears.
But now they got them.
All right. Look at that. Talking other sports here. A little baseball, a little football to end the Drop podcast. Was it a classic? I think so, but you tell us by leaving us a 5-star rating and review, by hitting the like button, by subscribing. Love to see the stream team going nuts here, commenting on all the games from last night and the big questions moving forward. Lots of games on this weekend. 11 in total. All right. 3 on tonight, 4 on Saturday, 4 on Sunday. So a whole lot to talk about. Come Monday morning, we'll be here live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Can't wait for that show. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
I was going to do some Norm Peterson, Chicago Bears, but forget it. The Bears. Thanks for joining us. And remember, like Josh Hart said, think less.
Brace the weekend, people.